So everybody, what I'm going to do is congratulations for calling in, and let me. What I'm going to do is I'm going to. Well, right now I'm not going to mute anybody. Everybody's live, so you don't need to do anything. So just hang in there. Let me give you some directions. First of all, we've officially started the call, so welcome everybody. I want to welcome the new power agents that are on the call today for the first time. And I know we have some people, look, and from some of the people that are calling in right now, I see we have people from different parts of the world and different time zones. So I want to thank you for, you know, you getting up or staying up in order to be on this call. Here's a couple of ground rules, and we'll just do this real quick, especially because we have people who are new to the call, that this is live, and we are recording it. So there's no delay, so no weird comments. And as of right now, I haven't muted anybody, which is good because it sounds good right now. If I find at some point that we're getting a lot of distraction or side noise, then I'll mute everybody, and I'll tell you how to ask me a question if I mute everybody. It's right now, it sounds like everybody's being very attentive. You're in a quiet room, which is good, so you want to keep it like that. It's best not to use the speaker phones unless you absolutely have to. Let's see. And and definitely if you're in your office, don't use your hold button, because if you do that, we're going to hear music, and then I'm going to definitely have to mute everybody. All right, now, here's the purpose of the call. Three things that we're going to do. Number one is to answer any questions or coaching that you all might have. So if you have something specific you need help with, this will be your opportunity to ask me and for me to – and don't worry about thinking that your problem or challenge that you're having is unique to you, because there's probably other people that either have had that challenge or are going to have that challenge or maybe even have it right now, and me answering it, everybody will get value out of it. So I want you to start to think right now at the beginning of this call, if you were going to ask me one thing that, you know, could generate maybe an extra $10,000 in revenue in the next 12 months from me helping you with it, what would that question be? So start thinking about it now, and later on I'm going to ask you, does anybody have that question? Let's see. The other thing that we're going to be doing on this call is I want to tell you what I think you should be focused on between now and the next 30 days, which actually will bring us to the end of December and into the new year. The last thing that what we're going to do on this call, and it actually will be the first thing that I will address, and that is the digital magazine that we've uploaded on the Power Program website. Now, let me just tell you, if you're a power agent on this call, you should have a username and password to the website. And if you are able to get to that during this call, that's great, because I am going to reference the magazine. If you can't, make notes as to what I'm about to say, so that way when you are in front of the computer and you can log in, you'll be able to listen, you know, or go to the pages that I'm telling you to. Like I said, we are recording this call, so we're going to post it on the website also. Now, if you don't have your username and password, somehow you lost it, you can't find it, or didn't get the email, whatever, just call my office at the end of the call and ask Sean for your username and password, and he'll hook you up. Okay, with that said, let's start with the magazine, okay, the first part. For those of you that have the magazine in front of you, if you don't, the first page I want to talk about is page 28. And what I did there for you is there's this guy by the name of Rand who actually used to create. Actually, what I am going to do is I am hearing a little static, so hang on a second. I am going to mute everybody, and let me just see how to do that question answer presentation. Okay. Now listen, if you want to, so right now we've muted everybody, and if you want to ask me a question or interrupt me, just hit *6 on your keypad. And when you hit *6, that will unmute you, and then you'll be able to ask me a question. Hang on. Okay, I just set it up where if you hit *6 at any point during this call, then you'll be live, and then you can ask me a question, okay? And then you can hit it again, and that will mute you again. So, all right, with that said, let's go back to what I was saying. So page 28 in the digital magazine, there is a contest. Now, by the way, this month's magazine, I don't know what I did, but I got like a little crazy. Like I gave you, this magazine's kind of big. There's like a lot of extra stuff in it. I don't think I paid attention, and I just gave you a lot. So this is going to take a few minutes to go over some of the really great stuff I think that's in there, and make sure you take the time to go through it. This first page, on page 28, this guy, this agent Rand, what he did is he would create these contests where children could create their own little scene for the holidays. Now, what's on page 28, it says Christmas. I guess, you know, you've got to decide how you are about whether it's Christmas, whether it's Hanukkah, whether it's holidays. But the concept is that you can advertise in your local papers. You can create a flyer template like what's on page 28 and send it out to your farm area, advertise it in your local Penny Savers, telling, you know, here's the contest. Kids fill out and create their own holiday scene, and they bring it to your office. And then you'll have pick a day where you're going to actually announce the winners, and that day you would invite all of the parents with their kids. And I've personally have done this. I'll tell you this, the background of this a little bit. And some of my people that are on this call are from Long Island. There was an office that I was helping consult in Massapequa. It's no longer there, but at the time, I went in there and we created this coloring contest, and it was actually for, I don't know, it wasn't for Christmas, it was for Halloween, and it was pretty off the hook what happened. We took this template, page 28. We advertised it in the local paper, and every agent had a farm area, and they went to their farm area door-to-door handing out this flyer telling people we're doing this little event. And when the parents brought in the entry form filled out by the children, we hung it up in the window. So when any of the general public drove by this real estate office, they'd start to see the window filled up by these little color posters, if you will, that kids created. And the idea was that the families would, you know, maybe drive by and say, oh, there's little Johnny, he's hanging up in the window, and it became like a real community thing. Then we announced the day that we were going to have the give out the prizes for there was a third place, second place, first place. And we told all of the agents to call their farm area of the entry forms, telling the parents individually, come this day at this time. And what I did then is I actually gave out a certificate to every kid. So every kid was a winner. But then we had the third, second, and first place people. And at the time, it was, I forgot the first place, it was, what were those dolls that were, not Beanie Babies, the other ones, I think it was, was it Cabbage Patch? Doesn't matter. Anyway, long story short, we had over 150 kids in this real estate office the day that we announced it, along with the parents. So, you know, imagine if every kid only had one parent with them. We had over 300 people at the office. It was a huge, huge event. And then we had the newspaper come take photos of the kids standing outside. I mean, it was really huge. And the next month, that office was actually profitable. There was the biggest month of sales and listings, and I believe it had a lot to do with this. Now, we did this on an office level. You can do this on an individual level. I think it's too late to do this for the holidays now, because for you to really get, you know, whenever you do an event, whatever an event you're doing, the benefit of the event is not the day of the event. The benefit of the event is the month before the event and the month after the event. For example, when we had this event and I had the newspapers there to take photos, I asked the newspaper to give us 150 copies of that paper that had that photo in it. And we took those 150 papers and we gave it to each one of those family members who had their kids fill in the entry form. And the reason why we did that is because having the actual photo and the actual paper, those parents, you can imagine, they're pretty, they were proud to have their kid in the paper. And so the shelf life of that paper sitting in the kitchen counter whenever friends came over. Oh, look, here's little Mary. She's, you know, she was in this contest, and here's her certificate. So I want you all to remember, whenever you do an event, the day of the event is not what's important. It's the whole promotion before the event, and it's the promotion after the event. And so for right now, I think we may be too late on, like if it were me, I wouldn't do this right now. You need at least a month of planning, getting ready, and then launch it for another 30 days. So, but I still gave it to you because I had it, I wanted to share it with you, and you still could do this concept going into the spring. There's other holidays that are coming down the pike in the first quarter of next year, and so you should, if you like the idea, you should start planning it. Next thing. If you go to page 29 in the magazine, there is a flyer that I created for you about the dream of home ownership. And just to read some of the bullets real quick, it talks about the studies that were done by Harvard University, University of Wisconsin, Texas, Chicago, Duke, about home ownership and how it impacts families. And I would use this for your buyers. For example, it says that homeowners are happier and healthier and enjoy a greater feeling of control over their lives when they own a home. Homeowners are free to redecorate, renovate, and modify their homes as they wish, which you can't with a rental. It also says that for the children, if you have children and you live in a home that you own, well, the math achievement scores of children are about 9% higher than that of a renter's children. The reading achievement is 7% higher for children. They're 25% higher high school graduation rates. They're twice as likely to go to college or secondary education. Anyway, it's a really great flyer that, based on studies that were done, and I list the universities that did these studies, along with Fannie Mae and American Psychologist Association. So this is a great flyer, page 29, to get buyers to focus on that they're not buying an investment, they're buying a home. And I think part of what we need to do is remind buyers that this is what they're doing. I think based on what's happened in our society, buyers have gotten away about what they're buying. You know, even the regular buyer who wants a home, they're focused way too much on money, interest rates, mortgage, all those kind of things. And it's becoming more about getting a good deal and trying to save $10 a month on a mortgage payment. And we need to definitely direct buyers into reminding them that they're not buying a stock. They're buying a place that they're trying to create memories for themselves and for their family. And that should be in our speaking. Okay, on page 30, there's a letter by an agent, by a team, that they send to their new clients that are, they're going over to their house to get ready to list the property. Now, I want you to understand something before I continue with page 30. There's essentially, you can break listing appointments into two categories. There's the listing appointments where people have called you, they want to list their property, they're a referral, they know you. That type of appointment is different than the appointment where you're calling a for sale by owner, you're calling an expired, and you need to get them to actually see that they should be working with you or choosing to work with you. So this letter here on page 30, this is clearly for somebody who's interested in hiring this team, and it's telling the homeowners, all right, thank you, I look forward to working with you, and I'm going to do everything to get your property sold. Here's what I need you to have ready for our appointment. I just got a text from Linda, who's on the call right now, and she said she doesn't know how to view the magazine. Let me just stop for a second, because if she asks that, maybe some other people have that question. Don't get frustrated if you guys aren't even on the website. So real quick, gang, here's what happens. When you log in, you go to the website, thepowerprogram.com. When you go to thepowerprogram.com, you must log in with your username and password, which is in the upper right-hand quadrant of the page. And after you've logged in, you will see on that home page towards the bottom, you will see November's magazine. when you click on that magazine, it will launch the digital magazine. You will not be able to see it or get to it if you're not first logged in, okay? So, Linda, if you don't have your username and password, you need to call Sean after this call and get that from him. Or you can do it now during the call, but you're going to miss stuff that I'm saying right now. And just make notes, and that's for everybody. So page 30, gang, back to that. That letter is what you would send to somebody who you know is you're just going over to list their property. Page 31 and 32 is part of that whole process. It's asking the homeowners to put together for you. And by the way, page 31 and 32 now, you can adapt this even if it's somebody that is not ready to list with you. At the end of the listing appointment, you can give them page 31, 32 that says, all right, here's what I need you to gather up for me as your listing agent. I need a copy of the survey, the title insurance policy, copies of any invoices or warranties for replaced items that you've repaired or fixed, and a homeowner's insurance policy, past utility bills. Page 31 is really great to give to a client that has hired you, okay, and ask them to get this stuff together for you. Page 32 is the same thing, and it's really just specific to some other things when it comes to utilities, water, heater, stove, appliances, stuff like that. Really great, great stuff, page 31, 32. 33 and 34, this is for any of you that have a team, or any of you that have an assistant working for you. This is systems and checklists that you would put together for your team. I'll just give you an idea. So when you get a new listing on page 33, this agent has this step-by-step process for the assistant. Number one, go into the online agent software. Number two, use your personal login name password. Number three, go to the upper toolbar and choose Go. Then scroll down to Plan Manager. It's very, very basic, very step-by-step, which I will tell you is a good business mentality. I'll share a little bonus thing here with you. There's a book called E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber. And that book is basically the punchline to that book is it says that when you build a business, you should build a business thinking as if you are going to franchise it out and duplicate it. And in doing so, you're going to create a business that's dependent based on systems as opposed to people. And our business in real estate is such a people-dependent business, meaning if you're not listing and selling, your business shuts down. And you need to be out there in the field. But when you hire somebody to help you, to duplicate you, to streamline things, you want to think anal. You want to think systems, checklist forms, and write it down and create an operations manual. Usually it's very overwhelming for people, and so just take it one step at a time. Starting to write down your notes and checklists is better than not doing it at all. So anyway, that's page 33, 34, 35, and 36. And 37 and 38, same thing. This is for anybody that's got a team. There's an actual employment agreement between the lead agent and anybody on the team. It really spells out commission, buyer agents, duties and responsibilities, scheduling, agent fees, training, closing, non-compete clause. So there's three pages as a sample contract from an agent. Her name or Leonard, his name Leonard, and his assistant or not assistant in this case, it was a buyer's agent. So anyway, okay, page 39. There's just so much stuff in here. So I feel like where am I? Yeah, I'm halfway through. Okay, page 39. I want you guys to really take a look at this because now I've never done this, but to me, it makes a lot of sense, and in some of your markets, this is like a definite thing to do, okay? It's called the Rivers Team Buyout Program. Now, I'm not going to read page 39. I'm going to just summarize it for you, give you the concept. And, gang, here's the concept. What this page 39 explains is that this idea is not new. It's been around for a while, but I think it's really good to use in this market. It basically says, and if you go to page 40, there's a flyer that promotes the idea. You know, new home on the market, brochure to follow, move to this new home, and we'll buy yours for cash. So here's how it works. Imagine if you advertise or promoted this buyout program that, you know, I guarantee to sell your house in 90 days or I'll buy it. And here's how it works. First of all, anything you advertise that makes the phone ring, don't feel like you're obligated that you have to do it for everybody, because there's always rules that apply to any program. So if you place an ad that says, you know, I guarantee to sell your house in 90 days or I'll buy the house myself, for example. Well, there's certain criteria, though, for that to actually be in place. So if a homeowner were to call off that ad, you'd say, well, what I need to do is come over, take a look at your house, see if your house even qualifies for the program, and if it does, then I'll explain to you how it works. Okay. Now, here's the gist on how the Rivers team does the program, which, by the way, you can make any ground rules up that you want, but here's theirs. What they do is they'll go to a homeowner's house, and they'll actually have an appraisal ordered, okay? And the appraisal, the homeowner pays for it. And whatever that appraisal comes out at, that now becomes, it doesn't have to become the listing price. You know, if a house appraises for $300,000, the homeowner decides to maybe ask 3.25. Well, if you think that's too high, then you don't take the listing. If you think it's not too high, it's doable, well, then fine. Then you'll advertise it for 3.25. The ground rules, though, is that if the homeowner gets any price above the appraisal amount, meaning the $300,000, they must accept it. So if they get an offer for $305,000 that was more than what the bank appraised or the ordered appraiser, then the homeowner must accept that number. So now, if they during the 90 days, if they don't get an offer that's $300,000 or more, then the Rivers team will buy the house. But what they'll do is they'll buy it for 65% of that appraised number. Now, I've seen, now, it doesn't explain what happens after that on page 39, but I'll tell you what happens traditionally. The agent would buy the house for 65% of the appraised value, and then the agent would try and sell the house still after the 90 days. The homeowner moves out, the house is now vacant. If the house would, it should sell for whatever the house sells for above the 65%, that profit, if you will, would be split with the homeowner and the agent, minus the commission, minus carrying cost and taxes and insurance and anything like that. So depending, the longer it takes for the house to sell, the less profit there would be for the homeowner. So if you can, I've seen it actually where some agents have said, I'll pay 50% of the appraised value. ERA years ago actually launched this program, I want to say maybe 20 years ago, and it was very, very popular 20 years ago. Some of your markets, that would really work. Some of you it wouldn't, because if a homeowner is, you know, 65% of the appraised value, now it becomes a short sale for them, and that may not work either. But I just wanted, I thought it was a very creative thing for you to look at. I don't, even if your market has a lot of short sales, it's still not a bad idea to run an ad that promotes this kind of program. Keeping in mind that not every homeowner that calls in on it would qualify for it. So if somebody is a short sale situation, that probably wouldn't qualify. So there's a little bit of legwork that you have to do to get to implement a program like this, but I think it's really something to consider and look at. It's definitely creative, and it's a unique idea. So, and it'll definitely make the phone ring. Once again, I just want to remind you all, if you have any questions about any of the stuff that I'm covering, you can either wait to the end when I'm finished going through the magazine to ask me, or you can interrupt me by hitting *6. Page 41, this is an agent who puts together a he calls it the no-hassle listing home marketing system. I like the alliteration, calling it the seller success system. And page 42 and 43 is kind of blank pages. It probably shouldn't even be in there. But page 44, it shows a menu of services, and it shows that if a homeowner should you know, list the property. Here's what they pay in commission. Now, you know, I can say this because we don't have, like, thousands of people on this call, so I don't have to worry about price fixing, and we have people from all different parts of the country. So I'm not going to talk in code. I'm going to tell you exactly what's on this page, page 44. What this guy does is he says, look, here's my menu of services. If I find a buyer and I write the contract, instead of you paying 6%, I'll only charge you 4%. So if I sell it myself, I'll reduce it to 4%. He says that if you should find the buyer and you call me to write the contract and help manage the deal for you, I'll only charge you 1%. And of course, if I put it on MLS, it's 6% for him. And if you find the buyer, you call and tell me, and I won't charge you anything. It'll be 0%, which I don't like that piece there. I will tell you a technique that worked real well for me. And if you're looking at the magazine, he has, first of all, he's got it in the wrong order. Now, this is a very successful agent, so I shouldn't, you know, knock Russell, but how I think he should have done it, his menu of services should have started, the first line should have said, here, you know, if we sell it traditionally, it's 6%. Like, the number should go down. Then it should be 4%, and then 1%, 0%. But that's how I would have done it. The first line would say, all right, if we sell the house traditionally, it's 6%. If I don't think I have a problem too much that if you should sell it yourself, that you can give the homeowner a discount instead of the 6%. I wouldn't go to 4. Me personally, I would maybe just do a 5. But here's what I would do if the homeowner sells it themselves. Now, some of you have heard me say this, but I know I've got new power agents on the call, so let me say it again because I think this is a really awesome. This really helped me get listings that I would have left without if I didn't do this. And here's what it was. If, let's say, for example, that you charge a homeowner 6%, and let's say, for example, only, that you put out there on the average half of your fee to the selling office. So now it's 3% selling brokers, 3% listing you, right? Here's what I used to say to a homeowner. Most homeowners in today's market all over the country are willing to pay on an open listing situation where, hey, bring me a buyer and I'll pay you a fee and I'll only pay you 3%. So it seems like a lot of homeowners have embraced and accepted half of our fee. So this technique even works better, what I'm about to tell you. If I'm on a listing appointment, I say to the homeowner, here's my fee, let's rock and roll, and they're a fist bump. They're like, nah, you know, Dad, I still want to try and do it on my own, but hey, man, if you bring me a buyer, I'll pay you 3%, and all's well in the world. And I say, well, let's do this, because if you do that, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, you're paying me to sell your, you know, to bring a buyer to you, but I'm actually going to be representing the buyer, and that just doesn't make sense. You're paying 3% for me to work against you, okay? And what I'm trying to convey to you, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, is that 3% doesn't cover the marketing side. What you need is to hire an agent that's going to come in here and roll up their sleeves and do what they can to get your property sold via marketing. Doing it the way you're suggesting, that would be like going to, if your daughter was going to get married, if you had a daughter and you went to 6 bakers and you say, look, I want the best cake. Whoever bakes me the best cake, that's the cake I'm going to buy. You know, no baker's going to start baking a cake for you if you haven't committed to one of them. So by you saying to the agents, whoever bakes me the best cake, meaning brings me a buyer, that's the one I'm going to pay, you don't have one agent who's rolled up their sleeves marketing your property for you. So what I'm asking you to do is to hire me and just pay the other 3%, and I'll do all the marketing. But here's what I will do for you. And, gang, here's the punchline. Here's what I want you to hear. I understand you want to try and sell it on your own, so here's what I'll do for you. If you should find your own buyer during the time that I'm marketing it and giving an exposure, well, if another agent from MLS actually found the buyer, I would pay that agent half of that fee, which is the 3% from the 6. Well, if you should find your own buyer, I'll treat you as if you were an agent on the MLS system, meaning that I'll pay you back 3%. So you're just paying me 3, and I will go through the whole process of making sure that this buyer is qualified. I'll help with the contract. I'll help with the inspections. I mean, I'll treat it as if it were my own transaction. Therefore, you're actually getting the best of both worlds. You're still getting the option of you personally trying to sell your own property. You'll have me marketing your property and giving it the exposure that it needs. And plus, if you do find your own buyer, we'll make sure that it's going to close before you go to contract. So now it's a win-win for everybody. And I will tell you, gang, a couple of things always happen. Number one is I always got listings that I was going to leave that I may not have gotten. Number two is I don't lead with that. I only do that if I'm walking out the door without it. Third thing is whenever a homeowner agreed to that, which they always did, once they signed the listing agreement, they actually stopped trying to sell it themselves. It was just a mental block. I had to get them over on the listing appointment. By the way, there is two contingencies with that thing. Number one is the homeowner cannot advertise the property at a different price than what we have it on MLS because that will create confusion in the marketplace and that wouldn't be good for them. And the second thing is that they couldn't have a for sale by owner for sale sign on the front lawn because whenever an agent from MLS would show the property, that would also create confusion and it would be a bit of a mess. So those are the only two things that a homeowner had to do if they agreed to that. So that really worked well. Page 45, 46, 47, 48 is part of this guy's listing thing that he has. He prints it out and gives it to the homeowner. Page 49, pay attention to that. Page 49 is a graph that he seems to really love. Where is the listing launch plan on the site? Bev, I'm sorry. By the way, you guys are asking me questions via my email, and it's hard for me to – I see it coming in, but I'm really trying not to look at my email while I'm doing this call for you. So if anybody has a question – I'll answer you in a second, Bev. But if anybody has a question, just hit star 6 on your keypad, and that will unmute you, and then you can just talk to me. So just talk to me versus sending emails and stuff. But, Bev, your question about where is this listing plan that I just was talking about, the page is in the digital magazine. After you log in, get the magazine, it's on the home page, and then just go to the page number that I'm talking about. Great, let's see. So page 49, this guy Russell uses a graph showing how he's compared to other realtors. Now he doesn't have the agents' names on there, which I think is nothing wrong with doing it, and he pulls it from the MLS stats and any time that you can use graphs, he's got another graph, page 50, that shows what he offers or why he is so valuable compared to any other agent. I love graphs. I think it's very visual. It's easy to read. Anytime you can use graphs, pie charts, use them. Very good. Page 51, he also has testimonials put on one page, and they're really good testimonials. It was laid out nice, so it was a really nice piece. Okay, that's it on page 51. Now we're going into the section of visuals you can use with buyers. On page 53 and 54, I created two different pieces for you on why now is the best time to buy a home. Page 54 is more of like a PowerPoint kind of slide thing, whereas 53, I made it look more like an article, and it has more words in it. For those of you that don't have the magazine in front of you, just to give you an idea, on page 53, it talks about the reason why now is the best time to buy is lowest housing prices in years, and then it explains that. Interest rates are at a 50-year low. Interest rates are expected to go back up. There's low down payment mortgages available still. There were some talks about that being squashed, but that hasn't happened. But that can bring that back. So right now it's good to move on it. Motivated homeowners are committed to sell in this market, in this economy, so there's better pricing for buyers. Buying a house now is like buying a house at 1970s prices. So it's when you look at the cost of living and everything else. So that's the article on page 53. You know, you can use that as in your book with buyers. You can give it to them to read later on. You can email this out. So it's a really great piece, 53. If any of you have buyers that you've been chauffeuring around for the past couple of months, just take this and just send it to them. Hey, listen, I'm in a coaching program or a training program or, you know, a master's program, whatever you want to call it, the power program for yourself. And our instructor, our coach, our leader, he just gave us this article. I wanted to share it with you. So you can just do a mass mailing and email it out to people. So that's that. Page 54 is something I would use more when you sit with the buyers face-to-face. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But it says there are fewer buyers looking during the holidays. So this page that I did for you, 54, I wanted to address specifically the holidays. Number two, historically, sellers who are on the market during the holidays have priced their properties to sell. There's a large selection home, lowest interest rates, the affordability index. So 54 is different because it's easier to read, and it does reference the holidays right now. Page 54, it actually shows you interest rates since 1963 and where they are now, and the caption is interest rates really can't get any better. So, you know, don't be a hog right now. This is the time to buy. And 56 talks about, based on the Mortgage Bankers Association, what's happening, that households' delinquencies on their mortgage payments have fallen to the lowest level since the end of 2008, which is actually suggesting that we may have hit bottom in the market. Now, that's it for the buyers. Then on page 57, 58, we start to go into visuals to use with sellers. And again, I got kind of crazy. I gave you two or three extra more than I normally would have. 58, I really love 58. It talks about, I created this piece just for you guys, and you should give this, when you have any of your listings, when there is an offer gets accepted, you should give this to all your sellers, showing them how to help get their house appraised for the highest possible price. Because I know when I was an agent, I didn't pay attention to this. And so if I didn't pay attention to this, I know there's some of you listening to this call that probably don't. But that appraisal is real important. I mean, we all know that if it doesn't appraise the deal, it's going to be most likely fall apart. Well, what can we do to influence that appraisal? Well, you know what? Number one, spruce the house up. That if a house is in disarray, now we know it shouldn't matter. I mean, it's all about square footage when a bank's appraising it. But the person who's appraising it is a human being. And if they walk into a house, just like if a buyer walked into the house, and the house stunk to high heaven, and the toys are all over the place, and the cats are, or litter is there, you know what I'm talking about. It's just a disgusting home. That bank appraiser is going to be influenced by that, even though they should just be looking at number of rooms, square footage, baths, blah, blah, blah. So number one, spruce it up. Number two, curb appeal. That's important. Number three, they should look at that appraiser as if it is a buyer coming in. It also says keep things up to date, have comps handy. You know, even giving comps to the appraiser, from what I understand, because I know there were some laws that have changed over the years, but from last time I checked, it's still appropriate for an agent to give comps to the bank to help them out so they can pick and choose. Now, we know they have access to the comps that we do, but anything you can make their life easier is not going to hurt us, and it could help us. So anyway, that's page 58. That's the article I created for you. 59 is something to show a homeowner why a homeowner needs to price a home to sell now. There's three reasons. Number one, the fall and winter is the slowest season in housing, and prices reflect that. Number two, foreclosures, mortgage issues, plague in the market has put fear into the few buyers remaining in the market. And if sales plunge, inventory rise, and when inventory rises, prices fall. So we've all heard that there's the possibility that the banks are going to start releasing the shadow inventory the beginning of the new year, which is going to drive prices down even more. Then there's another visual on page 60 and page 61, 62. Actually, here is one of the things that references the shadow inventory, I believe. Let me see. Home price, Bank of America. Home prices are going to be forced down in 2012. Bank of America Merrill Lynch economists expect foreclosure process to speed up in the non-judicial states next year, with liquidations peaking in 2013. This is partly why they expect home prices to drop another 8% on average nationwide over the next 18 months before bottoming. That's a great visual to show homeowners, page 62, why their property value is going to continue to drop for the next 18 months, and so therefore they better price it to sell. In case you're not sure what non-judicial state means, There are some states where it's a lot easier to foreclose on a property. They don't have to go through the whole judicial steps. Like New York, for example, is a judicial state, so it's very hard for banks to foreclose on a house in New York quickly. It's been taking years, actually, and some properties are still not foreclosed on. Okay, now, that's it for the magazine. A ton of stuff in there. I've got 20 minutes. I'm going to open up the call in just a minute to all of you, but Noreen has a question that she did email me ahead of time, and then after this, I'm going to ask you all if you have a question you want me to address to ask me. Noreen, if you're on the call right now, can you hit *6 on your keypad, and that's going to take you off of mute, and then I can talk to you. *6. Noreen?
Hi, Darryl.
Hi, Noreen. How are you?
Okay, how are you?
All right, great. So so you see how that works, gang? You hit *6, that will make you live, and then you can talk to me. So, Noreen, your question was, I'm going to read what you emailed me. You went on a listing appointment. You felt like you were going to get it. 2 to 3 days later, someone else has the listing, and that agency doesn't have what you have as far as resources. You looked at the listing online, the photos. They didn't take all the photos, but the photos that they took quote the word that you used.
That's okay.
They weren't nice photos. There's spelling errors, grammatical errors. So your question, Noreen, is number one is, can you ask the homeowner why, or should you ask the homeowner why they didn't list with you and list with the other one? And number two, maybe point out the errors. Is that right?
Yes. In a tactful way without them saying, you know, that I'm being unprofessional or whatever.
I'm going to tell you, I just tried recently. That's the very same thing. I had a company that they didn't hire me to speak, and even though when I spoke there last time there was raving reviews, I mean, you know, it just didn't make sense to me. Okay, and so I figured I'm going to ask why, and the bottom line is I know they didn't tell me the honest answer. I mean, the answer they gave was we just want to hire different speakers for this next event. And so there's obviously – so here's my point. And I only share that personal story because, you know, it even happens to me. I mean, even as booked as I might be, I still have some people that just go a different direction. But, Noreen, here's what I can tell you. If you ask the homeowner, they're not going to tell you the truth. There's no tactful way, and I have tried as an agent. I used to ask Noreen, and I tried dozens of different ways to ask a homeowner, tell me, you know, just so I can improve myself, just so I can be a better agent for the next homeowner. I mean, it just so many different ways, and they just never will tell you. You'll always get something like, oh, well, no, we love you, Noreen. It was just, you know, this was just that was the right different timing. It was just perfect. I know somebody. They're just not going to tell you the truth. So to ask, forget about it. What I would do, though, and some people on this call may not like what I'm about to say, Noreen, but here's the code of ethics that I operate from when I was an agent. The homeowner comes first, everybody else is last.
Okay.
So with that code of ethic that I lived by, it didn't always coincide with maybe MLS code rules and regs, maybe even state, I don't think so, but definitely some of the things I did were not appropriate for the MLS rules and regs, okay? But I didn't care. That was my code, okay? So based on that code, here's what I would do with this homeowner. I would call them up and tell them, listen, I want to just thank you for giving me the opportunity, and I do want to congratulate you on putting your house on the market and at least hiring a realtor. That was a smart decision. Obviously, I'm sorry that I wasn't the one, but congratulations. I do want to just point out a couple of things to you just so you're aware. And then I would point out just a couple of the maybe the spelling errors in the photos. I wouldn't throw the agent under the bus, but if you see some really obvious things that might hurt them in getting their property sold, I would point it out to them. And
okay.
And then I would drop it. Now, understand what I just said, Noreen. What I told you to do was to interfere with the relationship between the homeowner and the current listing agent, which would be against your MLS rules, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so you could get in trouble for it. But that's been my philosophy. Homeowner first, everybody else last. And if you see something, especially in this market, that's going to be a big detriment to that homeowner, I would point it out, not because you want to show them, you see, you stupid person, you made the wrong decision, not for that reason.
Right.
But, you know, so make sure you're honest in your heart, and it should work out, okay?
Okay.
And I would just do it the one time, because if you did it again, you see another mistake later, and now you can't keep calling that homeowner, because now you are asking for, a storm on your head from that listing agent.
Right, right. Okay, great, all right. Thanks.
All right, good. All right, so now, does anybody else have a question for me that you want to address, whether it's the magazine that you weren't clear about or anything that you need help with during these 15 minutes?
Daryl?
Yes, sir.
It's Charles Maione. How you doing?
Hey, Charles. Gang, we have a very special guest on the call. Charles Maione is not only a power agent, but he is a power leader. He does coaching for our company and a very successful agent on Long Island, New York. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Very well, Daryl. Thank you for having me on. And one thing just to follow up on the point you just made, and I know it can be a sticky issue, but I myself also work under that conduct as you do, and I've done that several times in my career, and the key is do it only one time. You could lump all of the issues that you find and just give it to the homeowner all at once. And I've done things like, well, listen, just so you know, MLS allows 20 photos of your house now, and you know, don't even say that you're realtor put, just say there's only 6 photos. You know, the village taxes in this town are such and such, and it wasn't showing up. If you do that all in one phone call and you give them specific, matter-of-fact, untainted, unemotional facts of service of what a realtor should do, believe me, it comes back to you. I know it for a fact. I've lived it. So I, from another perspective, I just want to say that that, in the grand scheme of things, is on target to do.
And Charles, I think, first of all, thanks for giving specific examples on how you actually could word it. And the other thing, too, I think the reason why it's okay that even if, let's go down the scenario, worst-case scenario, where the homeowner calls the agent and said, you know, Charles called me and told me that he pointed out how you missed this, you missed this. What are you doing? Did I make the wrong decision? And then that agent calls Charlie, hey, how come you're interfering with my listing? You can simply say, like Charles said, make it just that one call and say, hey, listen, I'm not interfering. I actually, you and I were going after the same listing. I had a listing conversation, and I feel I had a right to make that phone call to maybe kind of ascertain why they went another direction and to thank them for the opportunity, and that's it. So I'm not going to call them again, but it's not like I didn't have some relationship with these people. I did. I sat there for 2 hours trying to get them to hire me. So I think that's why it's important to make it that one call and not any more after that. So
right, make it the one call and don't reference the agent, reference the action or misaction or lack of action. Listen, it's like everything else in life. You don't barrage the sinner, you barrage the sin, if you will. So
yeah. Okay. Very cool. All right, great. Anybody else? Thanks for that, Charles. Anybody else on the call that you have a question about anything that you need help with or what we talked about on this call? And if yeah, go ahead. Does somebody have a question, or is that somebody putting themselves back on mute? Does anybody, if you had to, hit *6, and that will unmute you, and then you can start talking to me. If not, I have something else to talk about. Okay. So that's it. All right, well, then here's what I want to tell you. Now, we spent some part of the time talking about listings in this magazine, but I'm going to tell you something, gang, that when I managed an office, our best quarter was the last quarter. And the reason why it was our best quarter is because we're now in the holidays. Let's talk about, in these last 10 minutes that we have, about what the holidays brings and what you should be focusing on. Number one is, what we all should know and be aware of is that during the holidays, any buyer that comes out, and by the way, son of a gun, I almost forgot this. On the Power Program website, after you log in, under Classroom, there is a visual that says that the top reasons or 10 reasons why to list your home during the holidays. So make sure you go to the powerprogram.com site, log in, go to Classroom, and print out that PDF. It's a PDF. It's awesome. And it explains why a homeowner is putting their house on the market now is the best thing to do. This is perfect when homeowners say, I want to wait till after the holidays. Uh-uh. After you read these things, the homeowner, they'd have to be a donkey to not put their house on the market. It's really awesome. Okay. Now, let's talk about, so what we do know during the holidays is there are fewer showings. There are fewer buyers. People are in holiday mode. They're in shopping mode. They're in, you know, whatever. Okay. So, number one is any buyer that does come out between now and the second week into the new year, what we know about these people is they're serious to buy. And they're committed to buying. They're not committed to looking. So I'm going to tell you to change it up. If I give you a formula to success in real estate, 75% of your revenue should come from listing sold, 25% showing buyers. But this time of year, you switch it. And it's the only time that I tell people to do that. Right now, 75% of your time and energy should be working with buyers, showing property, doing open house, shaking the trees. This is the best time for you to pop as many sales as you possibly can, and it's the easiest thing to do. Now, as a matter of fact, even if you're not skilled, if you're working a buyer, you can probably pop something. That's how serious these buyers are. Now, because we do have shadow inventory, short sales, you know, the news, the economy, it's not as easy as it was 10, 15 years ago, but definitely you're getting better quality buyers than you ever have this year so far. What I do think you need to do is sit down with your buyers and do a counseling session with them. Now, I've been teaching this for years, and I'm reiterating it again, is that just like you have a listing appointment for a homeowner, how you know you've succeeded in that conversation with that homeowner is that you left with a listing. With a buyer, it's a little bit more ambiguous, and I'm going to clarify it right now. How you know you succeeded with a buyer is not that they bought a house from you. How you know you've succeeded with a buyer is that when a buyer comes to us, almost always their commitment is not to buy a house. Almost always their commitment is to look at houses. They say to their friends and family, yeah, I'm going to see Charles at 2 o'clock on Saturday. We're going to go look at some houses. And not Charlie, but other agents might say, yeah, I've got a buyer coming in at 2 o'clock today. I'm going to go show them some houses. So we got people talking about showing. We got people talking about looking. We don't have everybody talking about buying. So what I'm going to encourage you to do, if you want to tilt the scales in your favor this time of year, is you sit down with your buyers, you bring them into the office, and you do two things with them. Number one is you want to just share with them, I think it's important right now that I give you kind of a State of the Union address of what's happening in real estate right now. Because I've noticed some really great things, and I just, before we go take a look at houses today, I thought it was imperative that I share with you and give you a little bit of education of some stuff that I discovered. And then in that conversation, you're going to show them some of the stuff from this magazine, from other magazines that I've given you. You're going to show them days on the market, what's happening prices in your MLS, your local economy, and you want to move them from, we just want to look at houses, to, son of a gun, maybe we should be buying right now during this time of year because this is the best time of year because of the interest rates and everything that I've talked about on this call and other calls. So in a sense, you're going to have a listing presentation for buyers, and you're going to move them from, we want to look at houses, to, geez, we better buy something. That's the first thing you should do in that conversation. The second thing that you should do is have them be part of the selection process. Now, I've taught this before, but again, I've got some new power agents, and even those of you who have heard me teach this before, it's a little bit review. What we want to do is we want to show these buyers the best homes in their price range. That's the shiny pennies. In every price range, 200 to 250, 250 to 3, et cetera, et cetera. There may be 40, 50 homes for sale in your market. But of those 40 or 50, there's the best of the best cream of the crop based on square footage, how the property shows. It doesn't matter who listed it. The definition of shiny penny is bang for the buck. What buyers buy, and we all know this on this call, we even joke about it in our industry. You know, buyer says, I want this, 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 this. We show them this, 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 and what do they buy? That. You know, they say, I want a four-bedroom, two-bath colonial, two-story. It's got to have a full-finished basement, and it can't be on a corner. They wind up buying a three-bedroom, one-bath ranch on a slab on a main road. So we know buyers don't buy what they say they're going to buy. Why is that? Because buyers buy shiny pennies. And so if there's a shiny penny in their price range, bang for the buck, that's not their style, they're going to buy that. And so what you want to do is find the shiny pennies in every category right now. And the rule of thumb is 5 to 7 in every price range. And when you sit down with the buyers and you get them excited about now's the time to buy, because you talk about how interest rates are the lowest, you talk about how homeowners who put their home on the market are more committed right now, and you have this little conversation and say, oh, yeah, this is good. You're right. Maybe we should, you know, pick it up a little bit. Yes. Now, here's what I've done is I've pulled houses for us to look at today. And what I want you to do, gang, is show them the 30 homes that are in their price range that are currently for sale. And as you go through the 30, you want them to pick those 5 shiny pennies to go look at. They need to pick it. If they pick it, they're more committed to it. Now, if you've got 30, 5 are shiny, 25 are not, you don't want them to pick the 25. So in the process, what you do is you've got to find something that doesn't work about the other 25 as you're going through. You'll say, "Here's, let's take a look at the, I pulled some houses for you, so now let's see what we're going to see today. And here's house number one. Now this, we got 30 to go through, so it's going to take us a little time, but I want you guys to be excited about what we're seeing. So we got the first one here. You know, my concern here is it is on a main road. You said you didn't want a main road. You got the kids. I'm concerned. What do you think? They say, yeah, forget that. And then you tear it up. You destroy it. You throw it in the garbage. Then the second one, yeah, this house here, this needs a little bit of work, but this is the kind of house you put a nickel in, you'll probably get back a quarter. Oh, well, that sounds good. Let's see that one. That was a shiny penny. Then the third one, you don't want them to pick that one, so you'll find something else wrong with it. You'll say, you know, this house, it doesn't have the basement ceiling height, because you said maybe for the kids as they get a little bit old, I think it'll feel too cramped. Yeah, you think, yeah, I really don't think it's good for it. Listen, if you were my mother or my sister, I would tell you, I think it would be a waste. I wouldn't want you to live in it. All right, fine, get rid of that one. And that's how you do it. And gang, if you do what I'm telling you to do, these two things in this last next 45 days, if you sit down with your buyers first and do a buyer presentation about why now is a good time to buy, but we're not going to call it buyer presentation. We're going to call it a State of the Union address in real estate to give them to, so they're informed and educated. If you invest that time to do that, and then the second part is have them select the shiny pennies out of the 30, they come up with the 5 to pick and you show them those, you're going to pop some serious sales in the next 45 days. So I hope you listen to me on that. All right, now. Before I say goodbye to you, does anybody have a last question or comment that you need to share? And you hit *6 to unmute yourself if you want to.
Yeah, one of the things that I think might be helpful, and I know you read some of the list off, but I have a sheet. It's 11 reasons why you should sell your home during the holidays. And if you think it'd be helpful, I could send it to you. You could look at it first and then disperse it.
Well, send it to me, Charles. I have a list already on the website that I talked about. Like, I just rattled off some of them, but
yeah,
there's an actual flyer that I created. So it may have the same stuff you have on it, but listen,
okay.
Send it to me, and I'll post it. I don't even need to check it. I trust you. I'll post it anyway, so I have two versions. They'll have yours and mine, and, you know, yeah.
And it also might be the way it's written and the language and, yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, Charles, I appreciate it. Just email it to me, and I'll get it up on the site. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
All right, somebody else? I heard somebody else was going to ask something.
Daryl, it's Jeannie Phoenix in New Jersey. How are you?
Good, Jeannie. How are you?
Good. Unfortunately, I came to the call a little late. Was it taped, and if so, can I access the tape?
Yes, Jeannie, the CD will be uploaded up on the site probably by tomorrow, And
okay.
You have to log in, thepowerprogram.com, and log in with your username and password. And also make sure you look at the magazine this month because the poll references that. So, okay? So, yeah, it'll be up there for you, okay?
Great. And I just wanted to say that I thought that the offer to put up the 11 reasons, even though many of them may be the same, is a great thing. If you could post that as well.
Yeah, I will. I will.
Okay, super.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for participating.
Yeah.
Anybody else, any questions or comments?
Daryl, Beverly.
Yes, Bev.
How are you? This listing launch plan, I'm a little confused as to, I know there's a page on it, but when it says to go, is there a place to go for the plan, or what was that about? I was missing
it. It's in the digital magazine.
No, I know. I see the page, but the page says to go to online agent login. Like, where is all that?
I'm not sure what you're asking me. Do me a favor, Gene, because I'm going to say goodbye to everybody, Bev,
okay.
If you'll just stay on the call. Let me say goodbye to everybody, and then I'll address it, okay? And I'll help you walk through it. And anybody who wants to stay on the call, I'm going to walk through Jeannie on the website so she can find it, make sure we're on the same page. So, but for those of you that want to get off, here's what I want to tell you. Right now, the holidays, you need to balance between your personal life and your business life. Now, there's a couple of things. Number one, from a business standpoint, you know, we have an opportunity to make a difference in a lot of people's lives. You know, there's a lot of homeowners that need their property sold, and this is a great time for them to sell before the shadow inventory hits in January because houses look better during the holidays, because the buyers are more committed. So from a seller standpoint, this is the best time for people to sell. And so you should have that conversation and maybe go after listings. And on the same token, pick up the amount of buyers that you're working with because same thing. We're going to help with home ownership. We're going to help make a difference in families' lives. Kids will be in a home that they own versus rent. So this is you can give the gift of real estate to buyers and sellers during this holiday season. And so you should really work hard as much as possible this last 45 days. But on the same token, you need to, like, also take time in your personal life. You can't just keep working for money because there's just so many years that we have. You know, I've talked about how I have a marbles in my in a jar that I throw away every week that represent 1 week of my life. Well, when you think about it, depending how old you are, how many more Christmases do you have? Or how many more Hanukkahs do you have? Or how many more holiday seasons do you have in your life? You know, we don't have an infinite amount. So every year is a special one. So make sure that you take that time to make this year a special time for you and your family, the people who are important in your life. With that said, thank you very much for calling in. I appreciate your commitment to your business, to excellence, and to making a difference in people's lives. And if you ever need anything, I'm here for you. Thanks, gang. You can all hang up now. Okay, or Bev, you can stay. Now, I'm going to end the recording.